engineering. And in this process, I pray that the Lord Almighty will touch us and he will do a new thing with us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's stand for the reading of the word. Nehemiah chapter 5. The word of the Lord reads in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now the men and their wives raised a great outcry against their Jewish brothers. Some were saying, "We and our sons and daughters are numerous. In order for us to eat and stay alive, we must get grain." Others were saying, "We are mortgaging our fields, our vineyards, and our homes to get grain during the famine." Still others were saying, "We have had to borrow money to pay the king's tax, and our fields and vineyards, although we are of the same flesh and blood as our countrymen, and though our sons are as good as theirs, yet we have to subject our sons and daughters to slavery. Some of our daughters have already been enslaved, but we are powerless, because our fields and our vineyards belong to others." When I heard their outcry and this charges, I was very angry. I pondered them in my mind and then accused the nobles and officials. I told them, "You are exacting usury from your own countrymen." So I called together a large meeting to deal with them and said, "As far as possible, we have bought back our Jewish brothers who were sold to Gentiles. Now you are selling our brothers only for them to be sold back to us." They kept quiet because they could find nothing to say. So I continue, "What you are doing is not right. Shouldn't you walk in the fear of our God to avoid the reproach of our Gentile enemies? And I and my brothers and my men are also lending the people money and grain. But let the exacting of usury stop. Give back to them immediately their fields and vineyards, olive groves and houses, and also the usury you are charging them, the hundredth part of the money, grain, new vine, and oil." Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. Shall we pray, please, before our children dismiss to go to their classes? Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word that has come to us. We give you glory and we give you honor. We exalt you, Lord. We pray that you will speak to us at this time. You will take authority. Help us to get that which you have for us, that we, as your servants, will go into our world equipped and prepared for the calling, the mantle, and the purpose you have for us. We bless you, Lord Jesus, Spirit of our living God. Move, move, move afresh in the name of our Lord Jesus, and touch your people today. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Our children shall now be dismissed. Our children are dismissed. I will pause a bit while the children go to their classes. If you're visiting with us for the first time, we have children's class. So if you just speak to any of the ushers at the back, they will show you where your child is supposed to go. Some do go upstairs, 9 to 12 upstairs, and the rest of the ages go downstairs. Thank you. Glory to God. It may look like I have surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles. It may look like we surrounded, but we surrounded by you. It may look like we surrounded, but we surrounded by you. It may look like we surrounded, but we surrounded by you. It may look like we surrounded, but we surrounded by you. Lord Jesus, we lift you up. We give you praise, we give you glory for the victory you have given us. be exalted. This song goes very well with this chapter here. The whole book of Nehemiah teaches us a lot of things. But we see a man that loves prayer. We see a man that submits himself fully to God. We see a man that allows God to use him mightily in action, and how God uses him to achieve that which people saw to be impossible. Today we are looking at chapter 5. In chapter 4, we did see how the enemy plotted to bring an end to the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem, and how they wanted to come and attack them, and how the Lord Almighty revealed the secret of the enemy, and that the children of God became very bold and confident, and they built the walls with drawer in their hand and with sword in their hand. And last week we did say that the sword is the word of God. We move forward by the sword of God. As we study the word of God, as we pray and we believe in the word of God, we don't sit idle. We still continue and fulfill the calling and the purposes that God has given us. And so we are continuing. Today we see a different form of attack that comes to the children of God. It is not the attack that was from the enemy, but the attack that was from within. This form of attack caused disruption. This form of attack hindered the children of God from fulfilling the purpose of God. Work wasn't being done, and so the enemy had found a way to bring an end to what God wanted to do with the people of Israel. Work was not being done. And the word of God says that their leader, Nehemiah, became very angry with the situation. You see, you cannot be filled with the Spirit of God and you see the work of God not being done and you take it to be comfortable and normal and okay. No child of God that is filled with the Spirit of God can see the work of God not being done and be comfortable. And that is what moves us to serve God. That is what moves us to become the children of God that He has called us to be. The presence and the work of the Holy Spirit is to come and finish the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. So the Lord Jesus Christ came, He died, He gave us the freedom, and now the Spirit of the living God is empowering us, is strengthening us and encouraging us to move forward and fulfill the callings, the purposes, and continue the mission that Jesus Christ gave to us. Go ye to the nation, preach the gospels. And so you come here in chapter 5 and you see financial problem. Money had become the stumbling block. Money, finances. And you, if we ourselves look into our life and our situations, we know how, because of money, because of life challenges and situations, financial challenges, it causes us not to be able to commit to the work of God as we would want to. And so sometimes some of us weep and we cry, if only I had enough, I would serve God this way. I would do this for God. I would do that for God. Children of God, the enemy is very cunning. Don't let anything stop you. Don't let your financial situation and crisis stop you. And so we come to two and five. And there is a reason to why there is this stumbling block in the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. And this is what the writer says. For there were those who said, We, our sons and our daughters are many. Therefore, let us get grain that we may eat and live. There were also some who said, we have mortgaged our lands and vineyards and houses that we might buy grain because of the famine. There were also those who said, we have borrowed money for the tax, for the king's tax on our lands and vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as Our flesh is as flesh of our brethren, our children as their children, and indeed we are forcing our sons and our daughters to be slaves, and some of our daughters have been brought into the slavery. It is not in our power to redeem them, for our men have our lands and vineyards. You see the trouble here? Three different kinds of problems, but it is also around money, financial issue. And this financial issue had brought confusion and disruption. They were not united anymore. The money had caused them not to work because they were not united. Some were accusing these people, some were accusing that, some were accusing that, and so the work was not being done. The first point was that we, our sons and our daughters, are many. It is true. Since they started building, they had been committed to doing the work, but they have homes too. They have families that they have to take care of. And so they said to Nehemiah, now it is time for us to go and get food for our family. It is time. Mostly, money problems affect the building projects because there isn't enough money to do the work. You see, it is true. Even in ministry, as a pastor, I understand sometimes there are things we will want to do, but because of money challenges, we cannot do everything on our hearts that we want to do. And in this case, the money problem that they were facing wasn't that they didn't have enough money to buy materials to build the walls. No, because when you look at chapter 1, verse 9, and also chapter 1, verse 8, the king of Persia sponsored the building of the wall. He gave Nehemiah everything to go back and rebuild the wall. So as for the work being done, was being taken care of. But this financial problem that they were facing was the personal needs of the people. The personal needs. And many a time you see that in the church, God has given the availability, the funds are available, the heart is willing, but the people have different challenges that causes us not to be able to come together to work and to fulfill the calling and the purpose of God for our life. And that is exactly what is going on here. They were working, but their homes were being torn apart. Their homes were being torn apart. And so they decided to go and get grain and take care of their families. You see, this tells us something. And when you read, you find that there was tax problems, there were borrowing problems. And this teaches us something, that our financial decisions, the decisions that we make, are both spiritual and physical. You might think, oh, let me enroll to get a new television channel in my home. I want the triple play. I want internet, I want telephone, and I want, what else? Whatever it is, you ask them, give me the best. I want fiber optics. I want that. And they come and fix it up for you nicely. But it is a bill you have to pay. Some of us, we drive through, by God's grace, as we have just moved into, well, we haven't moved, but as we've been here, I'm always driving through Kearney and I'm thinking, where is a potential place to buy around here and to settle? And I'm looking at houses, and I'm checking on the internet, I'm looking at prices, and I'm like, oi! You see, if you get caught up with what you are seeing, I want this, my desires, it's all about your desires. And you get caught up with that, you will make decisions that can lead even your children or your 444 children into slavery and to hardship and to difficulties. And so, as a servant of God, as children of God, when we are making decisions, we need to be sure that we are being led by the living God. Even in the house that we buy, if you can't afford it, why are you rushing it? Why do you want the 16-bedroom with... How many are you going to sleep in? Why do you want that swimming pool at the back? And they come and do the measurements and everything. They tell you, oh, it's going to cost you $30,000. And so because of that, you have 5 jobs that you are doing. You have 3 jobs. And sometimes, occasionally, you try and find another way to make income. You see what's happening here? And so the children of God were in bondage. The attack of the enemy, the plot of the enemy couldn't stop them, but they have become their own hindrance to what God wanted to do in their life. We need to be led by the Spirit of our living God. That is why we cannot live our life without the Holy Spirit. We accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and personal Savior. That is good. Now we are on a journey for Jesus. He has to lead us. He has to teach us. He has to encourage us. And even in decision making, which woman to marry, young adults here, which course, youth, which course should I commit to studying? What should I do with my life? All your decision that you are making has spiritual implications. It can affect you for the rest of your life. I know a young man who had a calling, powerful anointed man of God, but got it wrong, the woman to marry. He is no more the servant of God that was called. The decisions we make are very critical to where we will end up. And we see this here. Some children they had to give their children in because they couldn't pay. But the reason was that they had committed themselves to taking care of God's work. And so if you want to be that child of God that can really commit themselves to serving God, you need to really prioritize your life. Do I choose a simple life so that I can honor my Lord? Or I choose a very complicated life and then commit all my life to making income so that I can take care of my basic needs? See, God cares about us and He will provide for us anyway. If we are working, if we are humans, we need to work, because the word of God says that he that does not work, let him not eat. But you need to be careful when you are choosing your life desires, because it is that which you have to work to take care of. So in West Hudson here, we have a remodeling team. They are coming up with ideas, and every time I sit down and they are telling me their ideas, I'm like, that's really good, but you know that will cost money. Yesterday I was speaking to our remodeling leader, and we were chatting and he was sharing ideas, and I said, please always consider the cost involved. Look, I want here to be transformed. I want us, when we come here and we are worshiping, you know, yes, this place is the house of God. But should we be focused on our desires and go haywire and have a loan that we cannot pay for? Fathers, mothers, consider your decisions in your homes. It can lead your children into burdens they are not prepared for. If you are a youth here, whatever you are doing at school, remember that there are consequences to them. Consequences. And so you come to verse 6. Nehemiah hears all this and he gets angry. Nehemiah gets angry because the work of God had now come to a standstill. His purpose of rebuilding the walls had come to a standstill. Nehemiah was very angry. And he wasn't just angry because the work of God wasn't being done. Also, that some people were taking advantage of the poor. And so he got angry. And some were literally taking their own brothers and sisters as slaves. If we go through to study this passage, you find that Judah was defeated in the battle, most of them were given out into slavery. And so when they now came back home, some literally had to go and buy their friends, their relatives, and their cousins. And that is what Nehemiah touches on. How is it that you had to buy yourself? You understand slavery. Why are you treating your fellow brother that way or fellow sister this way? Why are you putting burden on your... And so when I think of this, I keep on saying, love me like yourself. Treat me like yourself. What if somebody does something to you and you will not like it, don't do it to somebody. Even if you will like it, even if you will take it, and you know it will hurt you, don't treat somebody like that. Don't. And the word of God says that, love your neighbor as thyself. Let love control your heart. But what is the fruit of the Spirit? Love. When the Spirit of God is in a child of God's life, all they do is to love. They love God first. And out of the love that they have for God, they can love people. People can come around you and sense that this boy, this girl, this young man, this young woman is a special person. When people enter into this place, everything we do must be because we love them. Look, when you come and I greet you and I shake you, it's because I love you as a human being. And so we treat everyone equally. He says, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. When Nehemiah heard this, he was very angry. We say this because the Spirit of God is at work in our life. How many of us have seen how Christians treat each other and we say, oh, the Spirit of God is not here. We don't operate in love. We don't walk in love. We need to desire more of the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God is present in your life, you will love. You can love your wife. You can love your husband. You can love your bully, the guy that is bullying you at school. I always touch on this. Yes, they might be bullying you and you might love them, youth. But you have to not keep it secretly. Come out. Go and see your principal. You can come and see me in my office. Don't allow yourself to be bullied. But that person that is bullying you, love them. You see, it is all that which the Spirit of God does in our life. Love. For God is love. God is love. And when He is present in your life, you will love others. All you will do is love. All you will do is to be kind. All you will do is to embrace, treat people with uniqueness, efficacy, respect, understanding. You can use all those good words. Love. And so my question here is, how deep is your love? How deep is your love? And if your love is not deep, that should tell you that you need more of God in your life. You need more of Jesus. The word of God is, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have an eternal life. You need Jesus in your life. You need more. You need more of Jesus. I need more of Jesus. Love. Love. Yesterday I was watching on the news how Prince Henry and his wife had now come to the altar. And people are saying, oh, this is so beautiful and romantic. And I got the opportunity of listening to the preacher. And he said, isn't it amazing that two young people fell in love And here we are. All of us have come from different backgrounds. Love. If you love God, if you love Jesus, you can treat others with love. Love knows no hate. Love is kind. Love is pure. Love is humility. Love is patient. And so when we as a family, we are here like that, that is what unites us. 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 Now look at how Nehemiah approached the matter. Nehemiah heard it, and as a leader, he felt the need to do something. So when you look at the verse 7, after serious thought, Nehemiah thought of what to do. He pondered on it. And as a prayerful person, I can imagine him praying and asking God, what can I do? How should I approach this? And isn't it amazing when the children of God come to him in prayer, come to him in seeking him and his word and his answer, he gives them a way forward. He guides them and he teaches them. He encourages them and he gives them wisdom how to approach affairs. And so Nehemiah calls a meeting and rebukes. He says, I rebuke the nobles and the rulers. You can read it, chapter 5. You can see when you come down to 12 and 13 that they took it. The rebuking that Nehemiah did, you can tell he also did it in love. And because he did it in love, the people could take it. They could take it. You see, again, we learn from Nehemiah how to lead. Ministry leaders here, listen to me. When you see an issue, when you see a problem in your ministry, the best way to go about it is to approach it head on. Because if you refuse it and you put a blind eye to it, it will grow and germinate and overwhelm you. It will split you. It will destroy things. Nehemiah chooses a bold approach. He called the nobles. These are noble people. These are the rich among them. And he rebuked them. What you are doing is wrong. That is what the Spirit of God does in our life. When the Spirit of God comes and he is in your life, you cannot do that which is wrong against the will of God. He always teaches you and he tells you, this is wrong. This is wrong. This is wrong. And he gives you the boldness to also be able to approach situations. So if you are here and you are finding it difficult to approach difficult matters or difficult issues, you need to seek for more of God in your life. You need the filling, the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life because he gives you boldness. Some of us here are battling with even being able to tell others that we are Christians and we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we go to work, we blend in. Nobody can see us. We see the wrong that is going on in our communities, in our neighborhood, and we cannot stand against them. We cannot speak. We've become timid Christians. We can't approach evil. We can't speak against evil. But you remember what Nehemiah did. Nehemiah spoke against the king. And he made sure that he prayed and interceded and brought spiritual reformation to a whole nation. We have to be bold, people. But this boldness comes by the Spirit of our living God. Jesus says, I will send my Spirit. When he has come upon you, you receive power, authority to do my work, to be my witnesses. And so this kind of being able to approach evil and speak against evil and stand against evil, choose to stand against evil, comes by the power of the Spirit of our living God. So here, we are going to depend on the Spirit of our living God and we are going to address issues. A few weeks ago, I was chatting with my wife and we were discussing on subjects that are not being discussed in the church anymore. And we'll be raising forums to approach them and to deal with them, talk about them, and find ways and means together to solve them and to handle them. As a church, we cannot take the back seat anymore in this community. We need to move forward. And we need to depend on the grace of our living God to do this in Jesus' name. And you see Nehemiah doing this, standing against that which was wrong. And you look at 12 and 13. The rulers responded when they knew that they had been told, they had been put in their place. They accepted it, they humbled themselves, and they returned the slaves back. They literally accepted the rebuke. You see, he didn't have to do it with hate or strife to hurt them. No, he did it in love because he knew what he was saying was true, and they accepted it. See, sometimes it might not be comfortable, but you yourself, you know when somebody tells you that what you're doing is wrong, that they are telling you the truth, you need to accept it. Humble. These leaders, the way they acted, it's a sign of godly people. As a church, we need to be humble people. There's too many proud people in the church, arrogant people who don't want to be taught or trained or done anything. Some don't even want to hear their pastors. The pastors are speaking, you start to put on a facade. I have seen too many people who are not humble, who cannot take correction. So they go everywhere they go, they can't survive. They go to work, they do it there, they get fired. They everywhere, even on the bus. When they are getting on the bus driver say, "Where is your ticket?" Hello? You need a pass to get on. Get off my bus! Some bus drivers will shout at you, "Get off my bus!" And some, they won't even try to argue with you. They just call the police. Because of this, our own character, lack of humility, we can't be together to serve God and to press the mission of God forward. Pastor calls for meeting. How dare he call us at this time? Who is he to call me to come? Hello? Come, let's do this. I can't. Some people, you just watch their face. You feel like, "Lord, just give me an anointing that deals with demons. It smacks demons." You see, young people, they can't humble themselves. Youth, humble yourself at school. Young adults, humble yourself to your lecturers. Your bosses, humble yourself to them. Respect them. Respect authority. Any person, that even if it is your classmate, so long as they have the place of leadership over you, learn to humble yourself to their ministry. Their leadership, their position is what you need to look at. God placed them there. I've heard so many people talk so evil about our leaders and our presidents and that. Look, the way they do things might not be right sometimes, but be very careful. Be very careful. Pray that they get wisdom. Pray that God takes over them. Don't go around insulting your leaders, and then now you, this same child of God, comes and kneel down. "Lord, I need your help." Hello? Humble. These are noble people. And when they were told the truth, they were rebuked. And they took it. They humbled themselves. The Spirit of God is humble. When he's with you, you become a humble person. I tell you, I can just watch somebody for a few minutes, a few hours, and I can tell whether this person is truly, truly surrendered to the Spirit or not. Look at that person that is committed and fully surrounded in him, and the Spirit of God is in control of them. They are different people. You can't joke around with such people. They will tell you their mind. They will let you know, but they know when to submit. They know when to take. They know when to encourage. Their life is so fruitful. And we come to church, and all of us are like that. Some can't just bring our shoulders down. And we all claim that the Spirit of God is speaking to us.
Hey, which spirit is speaking to you? Which spirit are you hearing? You can't be humble and you say the Holy Ghost has not told me. Hello, Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost did not tell me. Okay, fine. Maybe the Holy Ghost is really not in control of your life. But if the Spirit of God is in control of your life, you will learn to be humble. And these people became humble people. And then Nehemiah goes ahead in the verse 14 to 16. He acted with love towards the people. This is a godly man. He saw how they were being taxed and all that. And he said, look, yeah, I am not going to accept any taxes from you. So he became very generous to the people. You see, you cannot have the Spirit of God in your life and not be a generous person. Giving. The word of God says, give and it shall be given unto you. If the Spirit of God is with you, all you do is give. God gave his best. The nature of God is to give. And when he's giving, he doesn't give you cramps. Some of you, that guy that is telling you, I love you, that is always punching you, disrespecting you, and treating you badly, and he's telling you, oh, I love you. He's a liar. When God gave you something, he gave you the best. The Lord Jesus, all he did was give himself. He gave himself the best. He gave us the best. So when you are claiming that something is God from God for you, ask yourself, is this really the best from God for me? God hated me and he put this abusive woman in my life to abuse me like this. That job that you claim that God gave it to you, why is it taking over your entire life? And it is now demanding things that draws you away from the love of God. Be careful. Be careful. He was generous. And so you find that the child of God that is filled with the Spirit of our living God. Oh man, people just want to be around you. People, and you get the opportunity to be a blessing. Because you don't beg people to come into your life. They come. You attract them. It's like magnet. They see that smile, that general smile on your face. Hello, hi. Hello, God bless you, my dear sister. Even the way you shake their hand. Oh man, this man is, oh man. God gives the best. So when you are planning to come and give me something, ask yourself, is this, sorry, I'm not saying, ask yourself, is this really the best for this young man? When, you see, some of, and I have a problem with this. I understand that some of us are blessed. And so what we might not like might be a blessing for somebody. But when you're thinking of charity, what to give to charity, and you're going through your things and you're taking the mess up things to go and give to charity, ask yourself, is this the best? What you don't want, why are you giving it to somebody? Maybe, you know, it might not fit you well or something. Yeah, you might. But you yourself, you know, I don't want to wear this. And some of us, when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, oh, I'm not going to wear those short skirts anymore. So you look for another young person and you give that short skirt that you don't want. You think it is a sin to wear. You give it to another young girl to wear. What kind of God is talking to you? Our tithes and offering. Ah, he's going there now. No. No. When we come to God and we are giving, give your best. Give him your best, yeah? It's a thing of the heart. I'm not going to come and beg you. No pastor is coming to beg you. When you give to God, it's your opportunity to be blessed. And so when your time has come to give. Look, I like it when we can dance and come and give to God. Look, you see the puppet, you see up here. Brother Kevin painted this place yesterday. Nobody was here with him. He came to do it. He gave freely. He suggested he was going to do it on Friday. On Friday, he couldn't do it. Now Saturday, look, the place is brightening. God bless you, my dear brother. There are other people who are committing to doing work in this house. I'm not saying him alone is. There are other people doing a lot. I cannot mention names every day, but occasionally I'll mention some names. And all of us, we should give ourselves freely to God's work. Give yourself. Be generous. And God will bless you. See, with God, the principle to having more is giving. When you learn this and this sinks into your spirit, all you will do is always be looking for somebody to give to. You don't have it, but the little you have, you want somebody to share with. You want somebody to share with. You remember that woman of Zarephath? A small flower left. She was picking steaks so that she would go and cook and eat with her son, and they would die and go. The man of God comes. Unconsiderate man. Go and cook it first and bring it to me. But she does it. She was generous to a servant of God. And the word of God says that she never lacked in her home. God blessed her. The principle, God's principle, our world principle tells us, keep. But God's principle is give. Give. Be generous. Be generous. And then he prayed. Nehemiah prayed. If you are a man and a woman of God here, the Spirit of God cannot dwell in you, and you cannot be that child that doesn't want to talk to God. You get it? Nehemiah prayed unto God. We gotta pray. Pray. This is how I fight my battle. The how you fight your battle is not going to catch people and punching them left, right, and center and giving them what they deserve. No. You kneel down in your corner, in your room. You pray. You come off your bed. Devote yourself to prayer. And talk to God. Ask God to interfere in your, come into your situation and handle situations for you. It may look like you are surrounded, but you are surrounded by God. God will take over your life, and people will start to see the beauty of God in your life. The Holy Spirit will move you to a place of prayer. The Holy Spirit will move you to a place of wanting more of God. You see, prayer is a communication between one and a higher God. And so as you come to God in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, I need you in my life. I need you in my life. I need you. He also comes closer to you. His word says that draw near to me and I'll draw now unto thee. Pray. Prayer is being lacked in the church these days. It's not surprising that the enemy also gets his opportunity to do the things he does in the house of God. Have your own personal prayer. And when you come here and we all pray, we start to see God moving amongst us. When we are coming here, we should be coming to be prepared to be touched by God, to have an explosion of his presence amongst us in our community. On Azusa Street, all they were doing was yearning and praying and seeking God. And the word of God says that fire was burning. God was moving in the building, and the outside people were seeing fire. Azusa Street, it's in USA. Simon, let's pray. Pray in your room. Pray at school. Whatever difficulty you get, pray. Exalt God, magnify him. Commit situations into his hands and see God moving in your life. The Holy Spirit helps us to pray. That's why we cannot live as children of God without the touch of the Spirit, the presence of the Spirit in our life. The word of God says that he gives us utterance. Sometimes you don't know what to pray, what to say, how to even pray. But the word of God says that he gives you utterance. That is why we have the tongues. Sometimes you stand. What's happening to me? The Holy Ghost is in charge of your life. And before you realize, you finish praying, you come out with clarity, you are rejuvenated, you are empowered, you speak, and people hello, isn't this girl that we told we would fire yesterday? Now look at her, she's all excited. What coffee did you drink? No. I drank the Holy Ghost. I am filled with the Holy Ghost. So desire more of God. Desire more of God. And you can see, as we study this passage, how Nehemiah was fully being operated and moving in the move of the Holy Ghost. You see, in the olden days, Jesus had not come to die. So God would choose a person and pour his spirit onto him or her and use them for a particular purpose at a particular time. But after Jesus dying, that's why Jesus told his disciples, you actually have to desire that I die and I go. Because if I do not go, the spirit will not come. And so now Jesus has gone to heaven and he has paved way for the Holy Spirit to come and dwell with us so that we can be able to live the life of God for us. Isn't this amazing? Rise with me and let us pray. Pray, yearn for more of God. Desire more of the Spirit in your life. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pray in the name of Jesus. Pray in the name of Jesus. Talk to him. Talk to him. And desire more. You see how God is using Nehemiah. God can use you this way. Oh, Lord, we bless you. We need you. Pray in Jesus' name. Pray in Jesus' name. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost is all about prayer. It is all about seeking more. Where are you lacking? Where are you lacking? Jesus said, I will pour out. I will send the Spirit. I will send the Spirit. I will send the Spirit. Ask him for more of him. Ask, Holy Spirit, we need you. We yield to you. We surrender to you. Have your way in our life. Have your way in our life. Pray in Jesus' name. Use the next few minutes praying. Lord Jesus, I need you. Holy Spirit, I need more of you in my life. I need more of you. If you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can ask him to baptize you. Come upon me. Give him your heart. Give him your totality. Desire that you will live a life that honors him. You see Nehemiah living the life of honor to our Lord God. He can come into your life. He can take over your life. He can operate and move you to that place that God wants you to be in Jesus' name. The Spirit of our living God is the presence of God in our life. He is the fire, the power of our living God. He gives us power. He gives us authority. He gives us what it takes to live for God. Now pray in Jesus' name.